Fulfilled day. I have, and I know you have, but maybe there's always one more little opportunity where we can move in a positive direction. And we said thank you for your presence, for you having that spirit to continue to fight the good fight. The verse for the text scripture, Acts chapter number 6, verse number 3. The writer, being Luke, says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." I read the book entitled Sam Walton, and it is a worthwhile book to read, because it begins to show his life story from when he was a young man in high school, and then how he went into college and how he was a poor boy, how he didn't have any money. He was really not able to compete with the best of the best up in Rolla, Missouri, but he decided at the University of Missouri that before he left there, he was going to be the student body president. And so he set out with no money to accomplish that particular goal. Now, if you look at what Sam Walton has done, you would say this may be the beginning of what he started. And what Sam Walton did with no money is he set out to learn the name of every student at the University of Missouri. What he would do, he would go up and he would introduce himself to that person, and he would put it in a format, and he would remember that name, and the next time he saw you, he'd say, "Hi, Martha, how you doing?" He would say, "Hello, Kevin, how you doing? Hi, Victor, how you doing?" And this is what Sam Walton spent his first 3 years while he studied learning how to do. And so you look at the man in an old pickup truck with a baseball cap on, but he was much, much more than that. And this is where he was. And then, at the end of his junior year, he announced that he wanted to be SGA president. And by that time, who else would you vote for? Who did everybody on that campus know? Who had he spoken to and called them by name on every occasion? It was Sam Walton, the same guy where we shop today. This is how he started. He didn't have any money. His wife had $25,000. And he took that $25,000 from his wife, and he started what we used to know as a 5- and 10-cent store. And he started that, and he moved, and he hauled his goods in a trailer, a homemade trailer, behind an old 56 DeSoto that he owned. And this is how he moved all the goods. And finally, he even got hurt in that particular thing. And finally, we see what is called Walmart. And I don't know how many stores they have, but this is what came out of the view that this man had about how things ought to be. People today look back and said that Sam Walton is putting everybody out of business. You know, nobody look and say, you know, Sam Walton was a smart guy, and he worked to be in business whether anybody else would be in business in the first place. We don't look at him that way. We look at him as just putting everybody else out of business. And then as Sam was very successful. At one time, he was known as the richest man in the world, those among working people. And then, of course, he split his assets. And by the time he split his assets and gave six people a part of his assets, I think back about 20 years ago, Sam's family was worth $2.7 billion per person. That's how much money he gave everybody in his family. And after he had done all of that, then he went out and he looked for a person to run his business. You know why Sam looked for a person to run his business? He said because there was no one in his family capable of doing it. So even though all of those people were worth $2.7 billion apiece, there was still no one worth doing it. But one of the things that he did, he was wise enough to look and see that he needed to follow a model that would fit the success that he had set up and not just pick anyone to do that job. And so this is why we came up with the text this day. Still in need of the spiritual seven. Still in need of the spiritual seven. Now many of us, when we began to look at this particular text, we wonder, why might we need a text like this? But the Lord's church is suffering due to the decline in the number of people desiring and preparing themselves for the leadership of the church. When we look all the way back, we find great leaders, but like there were leaders who came up, you know, leaders who came up in the Lord's church, and I'm reaching all the way back even into the Old Testament, and even those pioneers who brought us through the tough times of the restoration movement, when we look back at that, do we see, do we have we planned for the kind of quality that's needed to go through these turbulent times? The nature, the condition, the sinfulness of the world today, it requires someone that's most prepared and most capable to be able to stand up and fight the good fight with all the things we have to face, because things that were just problems then are tolerated and considered as a lifestyle, and we are trying to develop Christians in a time like this. So therefore, we came up with the topic, still in need of the spiritual seven. Many ministries in congregations go without any oversight. And you know what I mean about that? We have these things in place, but we don't have any oversight in it. You know why we don't have any oversight? We don't have anybody to step up to the plate and lead this particular ministry, or one of the phrases as you wait that particular table. You see, waiting tables is not just waiting tables. It's being there to lead and provide the service that's necessary to get that particular job done. Too many churches have too many programs, but they're not effective. And they're not good programs until they are effective. We're even down to now, and hopefully it's not true here, but even requests for Bible school teachers. It goes unanswered. Bible classes suffer, and even the staff of Bible classes suffer because of the lack of those who are willing to step up to the plate and lead like we ought to lead. In the text of Acts chapter number 6, here we had several problems in the church at that particular time. The number of the disciples were multiplying. And it doesn't matter whether the number is multiplying going up or decreasing going down. We need the spiritual seven to help us to get through that particular situation. Multiplying going up, we got a lot to do. Decreasing going down, someone is not doing the right thing to feed, to edify, to develop, to build up the church like it ought to be built up. One of the problems there was that the widows of the Greek-speaking Jews were being neglected in the daily distribution. There was a language barrier between the Hebrew-speaking Jews and the Greek-speaking Jews. There was a need to understand a different culture as well as provide the things needed for their survival. We probably know that as well as anything in this day and time. There's a band of Hispanic people growing in our nation faster than ever. They still need the gospel. But do we know how to communicate properly to help this group of people to do what it is they need to do, you see? There's still a problem. It's no different from what they had there. And you had two groups of Jews, but one was Hebrew speaking and one was Greek speaking. So since they had no one They just let it go undone, and that was a problem in the church at that particular time. In the Lord's church today, some of the same things may be happening. The needs may be different than they were at that particular time, but the same type problems exist, and they need to be attended to for the proper health of the church. You know, if we even look around and if we read some of the books now, memberships are declining in a hurry. We are way behind where we used to be, and I think we're behind because we haven't given adequate attention to the thing that's causing us to fall behind. We don't have the type strong leadership that will go out there and feed and love and nurture that group of people to get them where they ought to be. And though for the most part leadership refers to men, there is a strong need for leadership among women also to nurture the rest of the church that come together and make it cohesive to be all that it ought to be. If the church continues to experience the same declining leadership trend, there will eventually be little or no good, strong spiritual leadership, and the effectiveness of the church in our communities will basically become extinct. We didn't say that the church would disappear or the number of people would disappear, but the effectiveness of the church. Some of you may have heard today what one of the speakers said about a well-known preacher, and he said the reason is he doesn't preach a gospel that requires responsibility. He preached that everybody can do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and that's why so many people come together. But when there is a specific of God's way, and we have to be responsible to these things, then that's a different story, a different horse of another color, and it needs some attention in order for us to get the job done. Only having a sizable group meeting in one place is not enough. Just having a big group, and don't get me wrong, a big group is good, but when we look at this whole thing, our congregation of the Lord's church need worship and ministry services as the Lord intended, worship and ministry services that edify and develop Christians to go on to perfection. So when we look at this particular thing, we have a problem. We used Sam Walton earlier to say that in his business, the man was a visionary. He looked even past those who obviously should have taken that, and he reached out and looked for someone who could really get the job done. And I do know this. If you go that way on 72, there's a place that you can't get down the road. You know why? Because Sam Walton, though he dead, he still lives. He's taking up everything from one street to the other one, going down 72 west there, and now there are two Sam Walton on 72. You see, my whole point here, something happened in that vision that's still working, and every time we turn around, it's still going. And you know, if there's seven or eight in this town, there must be many in other towns because of the vision. Some questions are, where are our future church leaders today? Where are they? Now, what we're talking about is this. When we're going on, who's going to do this job? Have we thought about that? Who's going to do it? Will they be able to do it? Will they be prepared to do it? Will we have done what we ought to do so they can do what they ought to do to carry the Lord's church on? We need to ask those questions, and it's going to be my responsibility and your responsibility if we fail to do that particular thing. And that's why we look back and say, just like they needed the spiritual seven, we still need the spiritual seven today. Parents, leadership, and teachers are responsible for developing these leaders. Parents, leadership, and teachers. You see, the parents have first role. First role in developing leaders. The leadership has a second role in developing leaders. And then the teachers, working with the leadership, we have a third role. What are we saying? When we're teaching the class, we need to have some perspective of where the Lord's church ought to be. And without that perspective, we can't be preparing them to be all that they need to be. But we ask the question, where are these particular leaders? And you know where they are? These leaders are in some of the most unusual places. Just as they were in times past when God called on them, they were in unusual places. They're in unusual places today. Moses was on the backside of the mountain when God called him. David was out being a shepherd boy for the sheep when God called him. Peter was in the fishing business or in a fishing boat. Paul was on a mission to destroy the church that he was changed to be a leader to then build up and care for himself. John the Baptist was out in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. Jesus was in a carpentry shop when God called him. Matthew was collecting taxes. And our future leaders today are in places like this, in their mother's arms, on the pews, and in our Bible school classes. That's where our future leaders of this day, that's where they are. But unless they're tapped, unless they are developed. You see, God already had his eyes on Paul. While he was there in the school, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, God had his eyes on him. Matthew, while he was preparing all of his financial tactics, God had his eyes on him. You see how these things work. But he called them from those places. And why wouldn't someone in our arms or someone in our Bible school or someone in our pews, why wouldn't they be called too? But unless we prepare them, we're going to be in trouble. We still have a need of the spiritual seven. These future leaders need encouragement. They need mentoring, and they need training in order to step into greater leadership roles. What are we talking about? They're leaders. We're all leaders. There's somebody we got to lead. We have children. We have grandchildren. We have those whom we know who might be a friend of the family or something. We are leaders in all of those aspects. There are those who look up to us. You know, the kid that come to you and they want chewing gum? That's someone that we're responsible for having the right impact on, because that's a future leader in the Lord's church. You know, just like God needs men, it's so imperative that we have equally good women, because it takes a team to get this job done. Why? Because the devil would like to sift us like wheat so we can't get it done, so that he can have the advantage. All Christians have the capacity to be leaders. But only those who will prepare themselves will become effective leaders in the Lord's church. You know, there's a book that we need to begin to try to master. The book is called the Bible. We need to try to master that book. Why? Because that's our guide to our everything. If we are successful in anything, then that's our guide to our everything. With encouragement and proper resources. And you know, this is what we do too often. We just see resources as money. Yes, resources is money, but it's a lot of other things. With encouragement and proper resources, we will see our leadership ranks increase. Do we have a lot of young men wanting to preach the gospel today? Or do we have a lot of areas where the gospel need to be preached, but we're not putting them in a place where they can go do that? Are we doing the financial things we ought to, so that once he takes a wife, we can pay them enough money so they won't starve to death? And the wife think, I hate I'm a preacher's husband because I didn't know I was going to have to do all this for God just so I could starve to death. You see, we got to look at this thing with the right view in mind so we can get this particular job done. Where our future church leaders, they are waiting to be tapped on the shoulder and prepared for the service. You see, when God called Saul, Saul messed up later, but Saul was a young bashful man and thought anything, but he was tapped on the shoulder to go do this particular job. You see, there's more than those. They're waiting to be tapped on the shoulder and waiting to be used to get this particular thing done. Where are our future leaders? They are preparing today to lead the Lord's church tomorrow. Leadership models from the business world will not fully fulfill the needs of the church. What are we trying to say? There are a lot of great leaders in the world, but just that alone won't fulfill the need. And it's good to have that experience, but we need Bible-directed leadership in order to do this. You know, one of the things that we don't see in the Lord's church, we don't do enough of, and some of us know a little bit about Lads for Leaders. Lads for Leaders is kind of a boot camp, but periodic and intense boot camp training for young potential leaders need to be considered and incorporated in all congregations of the Lord's church. Now, what can we do? Why don't we have an annual boot camp just for boys? Why don't we have an annual boot camp just for girls? Why don't we make a big deal out of it and go out there where we truly have fun, but at the same time, we lead them and let them know that we can have fun in the Lord to do this, but we don't do that. We are not living up to the level. Yes, we are touching the hem of the garment. But we got to move because it's not just to get by, but we got to touch them in such a way where they're motivated to know and to want to do what we need to get this job done. You know, many of us, if we look at it, you know, they said something today. I'm not quite there. But they said, William, the day that you turn 70, one day past that, you living on borrowed time. Did y'all understand that today? So, you know, all of us ain't quite there, but some of us, we pushing, we trying to get rid of all of our time, and we're praying that God let us get to borrow time. Are y'all with me? And so, therefore, if we're at that particular point, we need to realize that somebody got to pick up the reins. Somebody got to get the job done. And you know whose problem it is, whose job it is, whose responsibility it is? It's mine. And this is how we all have to say it. And mine don't mean me alone, but it's mine for all of us. And we got to put it in place. But as a leadership, we have to pull it together and be a leadership that allow all of us to pull together and develop this leadership. Because just like they had a problem then, the problem has not gone away. It may not be the same one, but it's still there. And we still need the spiritual seven. You know, when we look at this verse, I like what it says. Look for seven men, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You see, when we began to look, if we don't start developing, mentoring, and leading them in the right direction now, how can they have the characteristics that's needed to do this particular job? And what are we going to eventually see? If we go through a generation and we don't have anybody living up to that, the church is going to fall flat on his face. And it's going to be my fault. Not for everything, but I didn't do my part. It's going to be your fault. Not for everything that you didn't do your part. So this is something I want us to put in our mind, and we need to think and we need to move in the right direction. At least we can do it in our Bible classes. We can start doing it. That's where we get all of those pure minds. But we're still in need of the spiritual seven. Now, you know, just like we need men with all those characteristics, guess what we need in women? The same characteristics. We need the same characteristics. You know, normally when the Bible talks about women, God is not saying, men, y'all don't have anything to worry about. He's not saying that. You know, when he talks about men, he's not saying, women, you don't have anything to worry about. You know what he's saying? Christians. We need to do the Christian thing to live a good life and then to bring this church to set it up to grow to the level that it ought to grow. You know, a lot of the things that we're spending our time doing now, you know, I like what Rick Warren said. Those things may not be important. But you know what we need to do? We need to quit doing whatever all this stuff we're doing and we're saying we're busy. And we need to get busy doing what God called us to do. Sometimes you have an opportunity. Read the Purpose-Driven Life. I don't agree with everything Rick Warren said, but I like his view. We ought to read it. It's time for us to get busy. It's time for us maybe to hope that we have a china plate, drop it and break it, and start over and do it like we ought to do, or else something is going to go bad. And the generation that we leave behind is not going to have the godliness that it ought to have. So we need to step up to the plate. You know, we'll have children. We'll have grandchildren. We'll be gone because some of us pushing borrowed time, pushing it. I mean, it's great, but it's true. So therefore, we need to think about it because there's a group of pure hearts that I'm responsible for and you're responsible for. And whatever opportunity that I get, I need to at least put my drop of love and power of God's word on them, if at all possible. God is calling and he's begging. He's begging us, do whatever it is we can. Prepare ourselves to be all that we can be so that if I have a hand, I can make a difference. But I hope we'll join hands as a group and make a difference like we ought to, because we're still in need of the spiritual seven. Now, the number may not be seven. The number may not be, may be three. But on the other hand, it may be 33. And we need to make them all there. Plus, did you know we send people out? And wouldn't it be great if we send someone away from here that can go to another place and make a difference? And they came from amongst us because we were doing what we ought to do to make, to build, to help, to make this spiritual seven the type of leaders they ought to be. Whatever our needs are, God is able, he will deliver. God will bless us. If we need to make a change in the way that we're thinking, today is the day. We need to go to God and we need to do that. Whatever the needs are, God will offer them to us. He'll offer it to us right now. It's all free, but it's not free to the point it's going to be handed to us. We got to show forth the kind of desire to go out and get it. So therefore, what it is, we beg you, come back to Jesus and ask him. He will help us. He'll help us right now while we stand and while we sing.
Let us haste, oh, haste to break his belt of love from the souls above. He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Come, 'tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome.